1 John chapter 2, I'll start reading for us at verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, or the last hour. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. But ye have an unction or anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce or deceive you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. They're coming for you. They may knock on your door. They may ring your doorbell. They may air their programs or commercials on your TV. They may want you to visit their websites or sign up for their email lists. They could even live next door. No, they are not vacuum salesmen. They are false teachers. And they're coming for you. They want you to believe their message. It might sound like Christianity. It might sound appealing. But listen. Listen a little bit longer. And they will deny core truths of the Christian faith. In our passage today, John warns his little children, his readers, of the danger of false teachers. The danger of false teachers. But he doesn't leave them there. He gives them armor. Several layers of armor to protect them from the false teachers. So I want you today to be warned. Deception is real. There are people who want to deceive you today. There are people that want to lead you astray from the essential truths of the Christian faith. But John doesn't leave us there, and I don't want to leave you there either. We have armor that God has given us that's impervious to false teaching. And I want you to know, as God's child, that you are wearing that armor. So the simple outline today is the reality of deception and then the armor, the three layers of armor that we are wearing to protect us from the deception. So first, the reality of deception in verses 18 and 19. It says, we live in the last hour or the last time. The last hour or the last days are simply the time between when Christ ascended about 2,000 years ago and to whenever he comes again, between his first and his second coming. People say, well, these are bad days. Oh, yes, they have. They are bad days, and the days have been bad for 2,000 years. We live in the last days or the last hour. In 1 John 2, 15 to 17, we learn that the world is passing away. So we're in the last time period of this world, and when Christ comes back, it will end the last time or hour. In the last hour, Antichrist will come. It's right now. The Antichrist will come at the end. Capital A, the big one. Some people think they have spotted the Antichrist today. Every generation has thought that the Antichrist was living amongst them. People have thought it was the Pope. Some people have thought it was a political figure. Some people thought it was the President of the United States. Whatever you might believe, the Antichrist is coming, and it would be scary. He'll be controlled by Satan, and you don't want to be around here when the Antichrist, the big one, comes. That really shouldn't be our focus as Christians. We should be on guard for the Antichrist, little a. Basically, false teachers, people who deny Jesus Christ. We need to be on guard against them. Some people spend all their time speculating, well, that figure, maybe he's the big one. Don't fear. You're protected. Beware of the small a Antichrist. And that's what John is warning us of today. Is Antichrist or false teachers. When people walk away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ, it shows they are not of God. It shows they are not God's children. Look at verse 19 and what it says. Talking about these false teachers or the Antichrist. They went out from us, but they were not of us. So people who reject the true gospel of Jesus Christ show that they do not belong to Christ. People can look like Christians, they can smell like Christians, but if they end up denying Jesus Christ, denying him by their lives, they are not true Christians. We must, as believers, have a category of false Christian. Something in the Bible. You can see it throughout the New Testament. There are people who look like Christians, but are not. A term for them would be professor. Someone who says they're a Christian, but in reality is not. If you want to read further on that, turn to Jesus' parable of the sower and the soils. That would be a good place to start. But we're not going to focus on that today. But there's people who, in John's day, had went out from the church and were teaching false teaching. And John is warning his readers against them. There are people today, so-called Christians, who are actively trying to persuade you that you should not believe some core truths of the Christian faith. Certainly, there are many people who don't believe the Christian faith. We're not talking about them today. We're talking about people who are trying to deceive you. They look like Christians, but they're not. Why does this even matter? True Christians are set apart by a certain set of beliefs. To be a Christian, you must believe and hold on to certain core truths of the gospel, certain core truths of the Christian faith. If you ditch those beliefs, you show that you do not belong to God. So it's imperative that we defend ourselves against people who would want us to ditch our beliefs. God has given us impervious armor to protect us from people who will deceive us. God has given us, in this passage, three layers of armor. Three layers of armor for our defense. The United States has one kind of main battle tank. And as a child, I loved reading about World War II and tanks and weapons. The M1 Abrams tank is the United States' main battle tank. It's very heavy, 68 tons. And if you think you get bad gas mileage, it gets below 1 mile a gallon. It's also very dangerous. But most importantly, it has very thick and very good armor. The armor is not made out of one thing. It's made out of multiple materials. Steel, ceramic, plastics, Kevlar, which they make bulletproof vests out of, and depleted uranium, which sounds scary, but you want it on the front of your tank. The various layers together provide more protection against the enemy than one layer of a single material. In fact, the M1 Abrams has survived direct hits from another M1 Abrams and survived, which is pretty impressive because it has like a 120-millimeter gun on the front. So John doesn't give us one layer of armor. He gives us three layers of armor to protect us against false teaching. So the first layer of armor is the truth that abides in us. The truth that abides in us. Look at verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. The message they had heard from the beginning, which is simply the message about Jesus Christ, which we call the gospel, he tells them, remain in that message. Let it remain in you. And this is the message that the false teachers deny. So they deny this message, but let it dwell in you. And he says the message that they deny, if you look in verse 22, is this. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Jesus is the Christ seems a very, very short message. John uses Jesus is the Christ as an abbreviation for what he has been teaching about Jesus in the book of 1 John. And there's three powerful truths that John talks about Jesus in this book. And when he says Jesus is the Christ, he's referring to those three main truths. And the first main truth is Jesus is God. That's how he starts out the book. The eternal Word that was with the Father. Jesus is God. The second one is Jesus is fully human. Jesus came as a human being. And we'll look at it later in chapter 4, but Jesus came in the flesh. And then three, Jesus died a bloody death for our sins. The fancy word that John uses for that is propitiation, which means that Jesus took the penalty for our sins. So these three truths form the core of Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the Christ means that Jesus is the promised Savior that was promised in the Old Testament, and that he is God, he is fully human, and he died on the cross for our sins. This is the core of the amazing message about Jesus. That's the truth that abides in you, if you are a Christian, the gospel. And we must continue to let it abide in us. When we moved into our last apartment, we thought we would only be there a year. And you know how plans go. 3.5 years later, we finally moved out of the temporary place. And when we first moved in, we thought it would be short term, so we didn't decorate. We didn't put curtains in the living room. We weren't allowed to put up pictures and nail holes in the wall and stuff like that. So it was kind of sparse. And we didn't think it was our home. We didn't claim it as our home. And we didn't try to make it our home either. But when we moved into the parsonage, we wanted to make it our home. So we put nail holes in those freshly painted walls, hoping that we got the picture centered. We got curtains, and we're trying to decorate. And we still have more to do. But we are making it our home. And this word for abide that we've been talking about means to dwell or to remain. The gospel remains in true Christian. It has made its home in your heart. If you belong to Jesus Christ, that message about Jesus is setting up a place in your heart. It's hanging up curtains. It's decorating. It's moved in and it's staying there. John says it this way in John 8. John 8, 31 says this. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide, same word, abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. He doesn't say, if you feel like you have a connection with God, you are truly my disciples. He doesn't say, If you believe in the existence of God, you are truly my disciples. He doesn't say if you walk an aisle at a church or pray a prayer, you are truly my disciples. He doesn't say if you've gone to church all your life or do good for others, you are truly my disciples. No, he says, if you abide in my word, if you continue to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, if you abide in his word, you are truly his. If the gospel has made a home in your heart, you belong to God. And the gospel living in our hearts is a true defense against false teachers. Because according to verse 24, when the gospel dwells in our hearts, then we abide with the Father and the Son. We get to live with God. And with that, in verse 25, eternal life. We are safe in Jesus by the power of the indwelling word. So that's the first protection against false teachers. You got the gospel living in you, and you're living with God, and you're safe in Jesus. You have eternal life. What a sure protection. But that's not the only layer of armor that you have. Number two, a test that verifies. The second layer of armor is simply a truth check. We talked about, what does John mean that Jesus is the Christ? Well, he's God, he's fully human, and he died for our sins. So deny that and you don't know God. Often when you set up passwords for online accounts, you have to pick a question that you will answer to verify your account or reset your password. Like if you happen to forget your password, like that would ever happen. Questions like your mother's maiden name or your first pet's name or something like that. Apparently those questions are too easy to answer because sometimes you go on and some of the questions are crazy, like what was your second girlfriend's pet's mother's name or something like that. Something obscure that no one knows, and even you. So those questions verify that you are truly the owner of the account. And this is very similar to what's happening here. A very simple test. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe that he's fully human? And do you believe that he paid for your sins? And that's not a secret question. That's a very public question that's in the Bible. And it exposes the false teachers. If you don't believe those truths, you are an antichrist. You are a false teacher. Now, believe me, there are certain doctrines that Christians do not agree on. That's why there's a Baptist church and a Methodist and a Presbyterian church, etc., etc., etc. And even some of us in this very room don't agree on the very fine details of the Bible. But there are some very clear truths that you must believe if you know God. All Christians agree that Jesus is fully God, that he is fully human, and that he had died on the cross to pay for our sins. If you deny these things, you do not belong to God. And that's a strong, sharp, offensive message of 1 John. So that test sets apart false teachers from true Christians. The second layer of armor. The third layer of armor is a spirit who testifies. A spirit who testifies. Let me read several verses here to catch us up. Look at verse 20. But ye have an unction, which is just an anointing from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Pretty impressive. It's something from the Holy One's referring to Christ, Jesus, and ye know all things. Look down at verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce or deceive you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. The third layer of armor is this anointing that John mentions. And I believe the anointing is the Holy Spirit who dwells in true Christians. The Holy Spirit. In the New Testament, anointing is connected with the Holy Spirit. I'll read one verse from Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It says this, "The Spirit of the Lord," this is about Jesus talking, "the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor." So the anointing is talking about the Spirit. What does the anointing do in our passage? It teaches us. We don't need anyone to teach us. So I think that part points again to the Holy Spirit. John chapter 15 and 16, Jesus teaches a lot about the Holy Spirit. Let me read one verse from John 15, verse 26. "But when the Helper comes," that's the Holy Spirit, "whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness about me." And then the next chapter, John 16, verse 13. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and will declare to you the things that are to come." So when you see this anointing, people are thinking about strange things happening in church. No, nothing strange about this. This is the Holy Spirit given to believers, and he does several different things. The text says that this anointing gives us all knowledge and teaches us about everything. So why in the world do we come to Sunday school? Why do you listen to a guy talk about the Bible from a pulpit if the Spirit, the anointing, teaches you about all things? We just go home and we'll sit there and kind of receive knowledge. Well, thankfully, there's a context that helps us out. In this context, they're talking about core truth of the gospel, that Jesus is the Christ, that truth about Jesus we've been talking about. That is the all things that the Spirit teaches us. This anointing teaches us about the core truths of the gospel, the message about Jesus. So that when we're saved, the Holy Spirit comes and lives in us and confirms the words that we have believed about Jesus Christ. In other words, going back to layer number one of our armor, the Spirit helps us abide in the message that we have heard from the beginning. We're commanded, make sure the gospel has taken up a home in your heart. Well, how do we do that? The Spirit, he teaches us and gives us knowledge. He confirms to us the gospel message that we have believed. And we have friends that have a poster on their wall. For their small children. It has their address, their mom and dad's names, because you don't know your mom and dad's names when you're really small, their mom and dad, and their cell phone numbers. So the children can look at the poster, and they can memorize, kids memorize things very easily, they can memorize their address and their phone number. So if they're ever lost, they know who they are and where they're supposed to go. In the same way, the Holy Spirit stamps in our hearts the basic information of the gospel to keep us abiding in the truth. One Bible teacher puts it this way. For while faith ought to look to God, he alone can be a witness to himself, so as to convince our hearts that what our ears receive has come from him. I'll repeat that. For while our faith looks to God, we believe in God, he alone, God alone, can be a witness to himself, so as to convince our hearts that what our ears received has come from him. That's what the anointing of the Holy Spirit does. God convinces us of the gospel message. Praise God for that. I have 2 points of application. Number one, the way to the Father is through the Son. The way to the Father is through the Son. Now, growing up in church, you know this. We as Christians don't worship a generic God. We don't worship as some people call him, the man upstairs or the big guy. Just one gentleman I worked with my last church, and he made me very uncomfortable, so I prayed to the man upstairs. Like, could you please stop calling him that? We don't believe in a generic God. God's not some sort of heavenly Santa Claus up there just sitting. There are many people that claim to believe in God. There's many people, majority of Americans, believe in a God. But if you can summarize your belief in God by any number of country songs that reference God, that is not the God of the Bible. No one knows the Father unless they know and believe in Jesus Christ. And saying, Jesus, take the wheel, does not constitute belief in Jesus. Belief in Jesus means we cling to some very specific and sometimes offensive truths about Jesus Christ, and we keep it up. So if you don't have Jesus as your Savior, God is not your best buddy. Some people act in our society today that them and God are on close terms. God's my friend, my best buddy. If you do not have Jesus Christ, you should be terrified of God. John 3:36. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath, the anger of God remains on him. So apart from Christ, God's anger remains on you. But if you have Christ, you have all of God's salvation and blessing. Without Christ, God is your judge. You do not want to come before him without Christ. Scary. With Christ, God is your loving heavenly Father, and he is 100% for you. Brothers and sisters, when someone says they believe in God, do not assume that they are a Christian. Do they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, come in human flesh, who paid for our sins by his death? Do they believe that message, and has that message made its home in their hearts? Has that message changed them? This is very important in our culture. Many people that say they believe in God, but Christians believe the gospel and cling to it. The only way to the Father is through the Son. Number two, God keeps his children in the truth. God keeps his children in the truth. All this talk about God's wrath, false teachers, and Antichrist seems a bit scary. It should be scary. It should terrify us that there are people trying to deceive us. But Christians have confidence from God that he has given us armor, three layers of armor to protect us from false teachers. We have the test of truth. We have the truth living in us, and we have the Holy Spirit living in our hearts, confirming to us God's truth, the gospel. God does not leave his children alone in the wild, wild west of this world, where false teaching tumbles around like tumbleweeds and false teachers run around like outlaws. We're not left alone in the wild, wild west. God has given us his truth and his Spirit to live in us and protect us. 1 John 4:4, which we'll see in a couple of weeks. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them, the Antichrist. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Take heart. Dear Christian, God is fighting for you to believe in Christ and abide in him. That's why he's given you his Spirit. He has not left you alone in this dangerous world. God is fighting for you to believe and to abide in him. And guess what? God always wins, so you're safe. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we praise you for the armor that you've given your children to protect them from this, from the devil, from false teaching, from false teachers. And we're grateful, Lord, that you have given us your Holy Spirit. Thank you that he dwells in us and confirms to us the gospel message. And Lord, I pray that we would put forth all of our effort to abide in the message that we have believed at the beginning. Help us to abide in the truth, and thank you that the truth will make us free. In Jesus' name, amen.